Well, let's bow our heads and pray as we begin. O Lord, our hearts rejoice in you. All of our knowledge and love for one another comes from you. Our deepest hungers are satisfied as you give counsel and instruct our hearts. Be known to us now that our covenant with you will be strengthened. Give us reassurance as we enjoy our sanctuary and observe the beauty of your holy building, that our faith may become more powerful, our love expand, and our hope may find fulfillment in our message today. And Lord, may our time together this morning be meaningful to us and pleasing to you. Amen. I invite you now to read along with me or simply listen to the word of our Lord. It's recorded this morning in Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. And then from Mark 13, 32 to 37, and then chapter 14, 32 to 42. Jesus is speaking here. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy, and they fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" And then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." And then from Mark, Jesus is again speaking here. "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." And then they went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to become deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." And then he returned to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." And once more he went away and prayed the same thing. And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy and they did not know what to say to him. And returning a third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come." Dear friends, the good news of the gospel is that the grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of our Lord will last forever. And this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, the Advent season, it's getting closer all the time. In 3 weeks, Derek will be kicking off the countdown that travels into Christmas and even into the New Year with Epiphany Sunday coming up in January. There's a lot going on at all churches. And I'm sure Tammy and her committee will have your sanctuary looking beautiful for you. Advent is an old Latin word. It has two meanings. One meaning that we know so well is the anticipation, of course, of the newborn babe, Jesus. But the other definition is that of looking ahead toward the second coming of Christ. Advent simply means to come, and of course, refers to Christ. And the Bible instructs us to remember that he came to Bethlehem in the first century, and that he will come again on the last day. And in both of these times, we're urged to be awake for his arrival. Well, when's the second coming coming? It's been discussed for 20 centuries now. Actually, the early disciples were of the opinion that it would occur in their lifetime. And their forecasts, much like our election polls, were way off. Although I was thinking a few days ago, this week, that just maybe we might be nearing our end. You know, what a year. What a year we've had, huh? It all started back in January, the State of the Union, when President Trump finished his speech and Speaker Pelosi ripped up her copy. And that showed the divisiveness between Congress and the White House. And we've gone downhill from there on. COVID-19 began snowballing in the spring. And then rioting and looting in the streets this summer, killing law enforcement people, and then groups taking over entire blocks of Portland, Oregon. And then the election this week. Yeah, tongue-in-cheek, but ironically, you know, Jesus may be returning for the end of time before we celebrate his arrival next month. Well, Derek and the other preachers here will have much to say in the coming weeks about the baby Jesus and the first coming. But the Presbyterian Church has asked preachers today all across America to discuss the second coming, and so we will. Our Presbyterian calendar is giving us a lectionary heading of that interesting story about the 10 bridesmaids who are waiting for the bridegroom to make his appearance, and they fall asleep. Well, 5 of them had no oil for the lamps, and when the bridegroom showed up, they were totally unprepared, they were not ready, and they had to run out and go get some more oil. And that caused them to miss the wedding and the reception that followed. And the difference between the foolish virgins and the wise ones is not really in their ability to stay awake. It's all in how they prepared their lamps. And you know, on the surface of all this, it seemed like somewhat of a meaningful story in the Bible, doesn't it? About falling asleep. Except Jesus brought it to life with a warning that his people, his followers, needed to be alert and to be prepared for his future return. We are the bridesmaids. Half are ready and half are not. And of course, Jesus is the bridegroom. And then he tells us this other story. He said his coming again will be a surprise. It will be like a man who goes on a journey and leaves his servants to take care of things. However, the man will come back home suddenly, and if he does, and when he does, and he better not find the servant sleeping. Here, Jesus, of course, is the master, and we are the sleeping servants. And his warning to them and to us this morning is that we should watch and be alert for Christ's coming. There's a sense of urgency and a cry to be awake. Now, I think it's important to begin with here that to note that Jesus did not argue about resting, because he also, after a busy day of preaching and being with many crowds, would sometimes climb a mountain, or he'd get in a boat and go out into the middle of the lake and rest and commune with his Father. God designed us to get several hours of sleep each night to regenerate our energy levels. It doesn't always happen every night. You can ask my wife about that. Jesus does not argue about that at all. He simply tells us to be alert, to be prepared, to be rested, and to be ready for the final coming of Jesus and God. You know, I don't run into too many people who are really enemies of Christ, who are opposed to Christianity in general. Instead, I think the problem is that Jesus simply has nothing to do with the way that they live. They are asleep to the fact that he seeks to be the Lord of their lives, Lord of their decision-making, Lord of their future plans, and Lord of their children's lives. And these families, you know, they're not really hating Jesus at all. They're simply ignoring him. They are waitlisting Jesus, saving him for another day or perhaps another time. And so he comes. And there's no room for him in their hearts that counts. And that leaves many people with a big emptiness in their soul. Bottom line is that Jesus becomes irrelevant to them. And maybe sometimes to us too. And it's not just the 21st century busyness and love of materialistic things that we go through. A couple of thousand years ago, when Jesus was lining up his disciples, he saw Simon Peter and Andrew, who made their living by fishing. And he said, "Follow me." And they folded their nets and they took after Jesus. And then there were two brothers. You remember them, James and John? They were on that same boat mending their nets. And Jesus called out to them. And they said goodbye to their father Zebedee, who had counted on them to remain in the family business. You know how easy it would have been to have waitlisted Jesus, to be asleep at that wonderful opportunity that he was offering them. You remember some of those other potential disciples kept him on a string. One said he had to sell some cattle first. A second said he had to make funeral arrangements for his parents. And a third said he had to check with his wife. So I won't go there, but we guys can sympathize with that. But these responses were all stalls. And Jesus said, sadly, these recruits are not ready for the kingdom of heaven. Now, they were not asleep, at least not literally to the call of Jesus, but figuratively, those potential disciples who turned him down were dozing, and they missed the chance to serve the Son of Man. For them, like many of us, Jesus was not important enough to serve in his cabinet of disciples. You know, we have many things that can get in our way and make us sleepy to the spiritual. We go about as if Jesus died in 30 AD. And that was that. And the truth is that Jesus surely will come to us someday, sometime. And if we're asleep to that, then we're going to miss out. I mean, someday we will face a new world where the only true value is a life in Christ. And we won't or can't relate to that. I think perhaps maybe we could go one step further this morning in our way of living. You know, most of us decide what is right and wrong based on the world's values. And don't we? We forgive, but we don't forget. We compete fairly, but we don't cooperate in love. We love those who love us. But we haven't made it to Jesus' standard for the new kingdom. And there we will love enemies as a matter of the will, and we'll love the entire world. In that new kingdom, dear friends, we are to serve rather than dominate. We clean up our thoughts then, as well as our deeds. And we live not without murdering someone, but we live also without unjust anger. And frankly, I see a lot of people asleep to that moral indifference. You know, they think that getting a job and have material success and getting kids off to college and having a retirement is it. And of course it is. Jesus tells us to wake up and be alert for the next coming. Next, I invite you to wake up to the ministry of Christ. You know, each of us has a ministry which we are called to be faithful. Here at Bethel, there are many places to serve. And it could be as simple as offering a prayer for others. Or it may be as complex as church leadership. We don't have equal gifts, but we are called to equal service. I think you folks are very fortunate to have members who are preachers like Derek and Brian and Jill. I've heard their sermons online. They're all excellent. But there are other ministries at Bethel and in your community that you might do well with. Be alert for his return and be productive in your call. Our heritage, actually, as Christians, affirms Jesus is coming again. Our best known creed, yeah, it's the Apostles' Creed, says this about Jesus. What is it? He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. In other words, the living and the dead. And in the Nicene Creed, it mentions that, quote, he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will never end. And I think Jesus' coming again gives us confidence in God's future, because God will be in charge. No matter how grim things appear today, and this week has been an excellent example of turmoil, the victor is not Joe Biden nor Donald Trump. The final victory belongs to Jesus Christ. Over and over again, we go through periods of history when evil seems to triumph, when just plain ugliness seems to rule. And at those times, we know that confidence in ourselves is truly foolish, and that our only reliance is on God. It is He who will bring our world to an end in His good time. And then the values of Christ will have won the day. And then there are those wonderful pictures. We've all seen them. The lion lying down with the lamb. A little child being trusted as a leader. People throwing away their weapons and every person being saved. These are the dreams of a kingdom where Christ is king. And I know we don't do well with mystery. That is, living without answers. We don't like life to be ambiguous, to have unknowns, to have to wait and see. You know, with Amazon Prime, you order it on Wednesday, you're going to get it on Friday. And there's much truth about understanding things now and in the future. And we must wait for a final day. I know I have a lot of questions. You know, why is there unnecessary suffering? Why is there a cancer cell? Why did we have the Holocaust? What is heaven like? Jesus says, no one knows. and we have to wait patiently. We wait patiently, but we are prepared. We are alert and ready. In Riverside Church in New York City, there are 2 stained glass windows of Jesus in Gethsemane. The first is that famous painting of Jesus praying alone in the garden, kneeling by the rock. It's a real famous picture. However, there's a second picture in a chapel as part of Riverside. And it also pictures Jesus praying. However, in that window, you see the disciples, and they're sound asleep. I think it's one of the saddest events in the gospel. Here is Jesus facing death, facing the cross, sweating blood. And he asked his closest friends to remain with him and to pray. And they let him down, and they napped. They dozed at a time when they could have been with their Lord. Friends, don't let this be the church of today. Let not this be Bethel Church. Awake and be prepared. Because the Lord is coming soon, and then he's returning again. Amen.